Lord Jesus, we just thank You that You have called us to worship today. And then You've asked us to be a part of Your kingdom. Many of us in this room here, Lord, we've said, yes, we'll be Your followers. And so, Lord, I pray today that as we go through this message, this attitude, that You would check up on our desires, Lord, that we might have the desire of Christ in our lives. We might begin to hunger for what You might do with us, God, in a real way. And so, Holy Spirit, right now I ask that You would hold our attention. I pray against anything evil trying to evade our minds, distract us, or to keep us from knowing, God, what You would have us be. And so, Lord, I pray for this, that we at Hillview will continue to get an attitude that looks a whole lot more like Jesus than us. It's in the name of Christ. Amen? Amen. Guys, may the power of God, may it move in you today, and may you grab hold of it. And may you know God's desire is that He wants you to be blessed. How many of y'all glad to know that we got a God that says, I want you to be with Me. I desire you to be with Me. And as we go through these scriptures, man, God's going to give us some headlines of what does it mean to follow Christ and what kind of attitude develops in my life. And today I'm going to give you just a checkup right off the bat. Right off the bat. Guess what? Your desire and your desires will connect you to your destination. Your desires connect you to your destination. Let me ask you a question today. Why in the world are you here today? Did you come here today because you desire God to do something in your life? Did you come here today because you love the Lord Jesus Christ and you want to be in His house on a day of worship and you want to sing praises to Him and you want to be with other believers and you're excited about the gift of grace that's in your life and you desire to be here? Or did you come here today because you live in the South? And on Sunday we go to church and we go through a religious routine and we hear about what we could be in God and what God might do in our lives and we flow through the church motion, you know, and say, okay, I hope things will get better. God is real. And I'm telling you, God has always been on the move. I'm not telling you anything today that God hadn't desired from the moment He spoke creation into existence. He desires His people to be with Him and into Him and through Him all great things are done. And guess what? I'm going to challenge us today with this attitude. It's time to get real and turn it up. Amen. Now listen, I'm going to get honest. We all got stuff in our lives that bust us up, yeah? Come on, get with me. Everybody's got, man, we've gotten down today. We've gotten down. 8 o'clock got down, man. Some people got rid of some junk. Today, guess what? This is part of the service today is getting rid of some junk today. Desires. I want you to check up on your desire. Let's recheck the attitudes. First attitude. How many of y'all realize this? There is salvation in Jesus Christ. Amen. Man, I don't know about y'all, but listen. When I don't have anything else, and I've been there just about 4 years ago in my life. I'll share a personal story, man. I just hit a bottom. I hit a bottom. I mean, I loved all you guys, but I still hit a bottom. Guess what I learned? I can come to church and still hit the bottom. You know, some of y'all have been pastors. Man, I just hit a wall. In fact, I had some brothers, they warned me. They said, Ayers, you so hyper, you so crazy, man. You always maxing everything out. They said, man, if you don't slow down, you're going to hit a wall. And they said, man, on your back, your 10th year of ministry, they said, it's going to be a monkey jump on your back. And, man, I called a guy, and that's a track term. You know, y'all seen people run track? You've seen them fly, and then all of a sudden they'll come around the last curve, and they'll just slow down. And guess what they call that in track? They said, man, you got a monkey on your back. Man, I didn't get a monkey. I got a gorilla. Silverback. Y'all have seen one of them silverback gorillas? Jumped up on my back, pulled me down, and guess what happened? My desires had gotten distorted. And I wasn't desiring the things of God. I was desiring that, you know, the church would grow. I was desiring that we would get on with whatever it was we were supposed to. I was desiring that people would act better. I had my desires confused with God's desires, and it put me in a deep depression. How many of y'all have ever been in a deep depression? How many of y'all been following God, but it felt like you were just dark? Anybody been there? You know, it was empty. Well, this attitude today is going to help us understand why that can happen. Now, if you're in that zone, here's the good news I have today. You can get out of there. Yeah, well, say thank God. You know, how many of y'all are glad when you feel bad you ain't got to stay that way? To me, that's the good news of the kingdom of God. This is real stuff. I'm going to tell you right now. Listen, if Jesus was this, come and hear a sermon and go home, I'm going to the lake. I'm going to play golf. I ain't even fooling with the church. But Jesus will totally reorder your life. First thing you got to realize is this: we poor without God. We poor. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. I'm going to repeat it again. I'm going to say it every Sunday till the day I die. The only way to heaven is Jesus Christ. He has died for us. He has risen for us. He will get in us. He is the only way to heaven. He will always be the only way to heaven. Jesus is your connection to heaven. So, well, Pastor Steve, I don't believe that. I believe there's other philosophical religious beliefs. Well, you just keep on. And that's why you will stay sorrowful and empty. Now, that's the facts. You know, I'll do the Elijah thing. There were other gods when Elijah was out there. They couldn't light the altar. Jesus Christ will change the deal. Yours is the kingdom of heaven. Amen? You say, well, I believe that there are other ways. Well, guess what? You're not going to get these blessings. I'm asking you to practice these things. You know, Randy, when you work them, what happens? You've been looking better. Hey, what you been doing? Been working it with Jesus. Wouldn't you say working it with Jesus? There you go, man. You got to work your life with Jesus. It's okay. Better when you just let Jesus work it all the way through. Huh? How many of y'all find if you stay out of the way, you'll get better? Now get this. These attitudes are already in you. Second attitude, how many of y'all care enough to comfort? Care enough to comfort. Care about things. Care about things, man. Remember that attitude? Blessed are those who mourn, man. They care enough to hurt. They'll be comforted. So listen, you can check some things, can't you? If I don't feel like I'm connected to heaven, I need to check where I am with Jesus. If I don't have any comfort in my life, maybe I don't care. That's why I don't have comfort. Or maybe I only care about myself. And that's why I always stay uncomfortable. Getting down there today, isn't it? It's where we live. Look at here. Here's the third thing. Blessed are the meek. Those who are teachable, for they will inherit the earth. Here's what I'm saying. If you learn to listen and you learn to be teachable and you learn that God's got a better idea about it than you do, and you let Him lead you, won't you have a better earthly existence? And then today it's about desire. Did I tell you your desire will always connect you to your what? Destination. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? Righteousness, for they will be filled. Three guarantees. First of all, you're going to be hungry for something. You could say this verse like this. Blessed are those who desire God's happening in their life, for it will happen. So I'm going to deal with desire. I'm big on desire. You know what I believe? People do what they desire to do. You know why some people aren't in worship this morning? They don't deem it important. They could care less. Everything else in their life is more important than Jesus Christ. Is Pastor Steve being mean this morning, or is he being honest? Watch this. I'm going to tell you something I've never done in 15 years. I've never asked anybody who said they're a follower of Jesus to be in worship. You know why? If you're a follower of Jesus, you'll be in worship. If you're a follower of Jesus, man, you'll start hungering for Bible study. If you're really a follower of Jesus, you'll start building healthy relationships. If you're a follower of Jesus, guess what? You'll start praying. You say, well, Pastor Steve, are you telling me then you don't believe that people can say they believe in Jesus and do nothing with it and be saved? I'm telling you, I sure wouldn't take a risk on that kind of real light kind of lifestyle. I know it's popular in America to get baptized when you're 7, absolutely do nothing with your life spiritually, and call that salvation. I think that's pretty slim. I think that's probably a lie from the enemy. Because here's what I'm saying. When you get Jesus in your life, there's going to be some motion of God. Here's why. God changes our desires. Hello? God changes our desires. When I say, Lord Jesus, come into my life, forgive me of my sins. Give the Lord Jesus, you're forgiven. And now my desires begin to what? Change. I didn't say you're not going to have evil desires, but your desire begins to what? Change. Let's talk about desire for a minute. Y'all talk with me. Everybody's talked good today. This has been a talking day. How many of you, give me some things we desire as human beings. That has been the first one in all services. Where do we live? America. Well, let me ask you a question. How many? What do people do? Now, watch. I'm going to give you an action time here. Okay. First of all, your desire, whatever you desire, will always lead you to a set of actions. Always. Now, here's the problem I think we get. We try to change our actions and ignore our desires. That's called behavior modification. Here's what happens when you go spiritual. My desire's got to be changed. What's messing me up is my desire. I don't desire the things of God. Then I will have actions that are not participatory with the things of God. How many of y'all have seen that to be true? What's off is my desire. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Now, if your desire is money and only money, tell me about your life. Tell me about what kind of actions you're going to get. Okay, you may be greedy. If you're greedy, then what do? Okay, you're not going to share. What else? You're either going to work all the time. There's a novel idea. Let me do inject that one into culture, though. If you would like to have money, this is a primitive way to get it, but it's still a very effective way to get it. It's called, watch this, work. Most people that have money do that by going to work. There are other people that make a lot of money by not going to work, but most of the time these are illegal practices. You know, let me ask you a question. How many of y'all found this? If my desire is money, will I be filled? You're right. You'll never have enough. It'll never get you what you want to get. Well, I know a lot of people got a lot of money. Drug dealers got a lot of money. Are they happy? I mean, if you're a drug dealer, yet to be caught, note how I said that, yet to be caught, what do you got? I mean, you can buy stuff, but watch what comes with the stuff. You're paranoid. You're running around with a firearm all the time. Why? So watch this. Blessed are those who desire for money. They shall be filled. No, they just get a lot of stuff. What about stuff? How many of y'all desire stuff? Desire stuff? How many of y'all have ever had stuff moments? Come on, what happens when you really desire some stuff, an object? How many of y'all get obsessed? Anybody here get obsessed with objects? Things you would like? How many of y'all get that on your desire? Man, I drive Elizabeth crazy. I always got a project or a desire in my mind. I mean, if I want to trade boats or something, guess what? I can be eating breakfast and turn it into a boat conversation. Everything I do is leading to what I want. You see, my desire will always lead to a certain set of actions, and that certain set of actions will determine my what? Destination. I know you kids hear us preach at you all the time. I'm going to preach at you a little more. You're going to get it. I pray you get it one day. But guess what? Guess what? What you're doing right now sets up some things in your life that will last forever. How many of y'all have heard that all the time? Watch this. The way you date right now is determining whether you'll have a successful marriage. Amen. Thank you, Pastor Eric. Yeah. Watch this. Girls, listen to me. If you're attracted to bums right now, what does that show you? I got a higher risk of marrying one. Now, guys, if you're attracted to psycho woman right now, there's psycho women and there's bum men. That's usually the problem in marriage. Am I not shooting you straight? Well, these young guys need to know this. If you dating a girl right now and she's fussing right now, you put 30 years to that and it will drive you out of your mind. Let me tell you what, if she's controlling you in the 10th grade, She will be chaining you the third year of marriage. Honey, let me tell you what. If you can't get him to flip hamburgers at McDonald's to buy his gas money, he sure ain't going to pay the house bill. So you got to make these observations right up front. And girls, you don't want to marry a guy that won't pay for your house. Yeah. I mean, these young girls, they come trotting into my office now and they'll go, I can't believe my husband, all he does is sit on the couch and play Nintendo or PlayStation or Xbox. I said, what did he do when you dated him? That's all he did when I dated him. Why are you surprised? People think marriage changes people. Marriage just identifies people. Be careful there. Your desires. See, watch this. Some of y'all desire to be married so bad you'll marry anything. I found this. Better to be single than blessed than married and hindered. I'd rather wake up in the morning without one than to wake up with a problem one. You see what I'm saying? I got some good singles over here. Amen. But it's getting to your desire. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Your actions will dictate your what? Destiny. Now, church, are y'all getting this morning? Desire. Now, let's break those two. Hunger. Hunger. What if we started hungering for God? What would happen to our lives? How many of y'all ever get hungry? Man, I travel with the Reverend, the Right Reverend Marcus B. Hale. And I don't know if y'all have noticed this, but Marcus B. Hale, he is a wonderful pastor of this church. And he and I work very closely together, but we're not wired alike. Have y'all noticed that? Nothing alike. Mark and I are wired differently, and that's a beautiful thing. In fact, Miss Susan, who works in the office, she calls us the odd couple. Y'all remember that old show, Felix and Oscar? And I'm Felix. In fact, one day it was so funny. Mark was in his suit and tie, and I came in a pair of sweatpants and a t-shirt and tennis shoes, and we was in there fussing about something in the office. She said, y'all sound just like the odd couple. But we are the odd couple, but in Christ, we're a couple of odd people that can do some cool things. But now, Pastor Mark eats on schedule. He gets hungry. And I'm going to show you something he does. He desires to have breakfast at 7. He desires to have lunch at 12. And guess when dinner is? 5. Well, really 6, because you got to get off work. But but it's close to that. Now, guess when I eat? There you go. So when we're traveling together, especially if I'm driving, people accuse me when I'm driving of doing strange things, because when I'm driving, my desire is different than their desire. Their desire is to see how many restaurants we can eat in on one trip. See, that's their desire. My desire is this. My desire is, how fast can we get there? Like it's going to make any difference. All I'm going to do is get there and stand in a lobby, 40 minutes earlier than everybody else that got there. But I'm going to get there. American Airlines ain't got nothing on me. If we're going to Atlanta, man, if I got to go to Atlanta and somebody's flying from Atlanta, I like to prove my point. I'm going to get there before they do because they took the plane. And for some reason, I get some kind of hyperhuman thrill off of that to be sitting at the hotel and say, yeah, if y'all had ridden with me, you'd have been here a lot earlier. But now to do that, you can't eat at 7 and 12. I mean, get a bag of peanuts and get on down the road. Now, if you notice, none of the pastors are clapping because they've ridden with me and traveled with me before. Now, Pastor Eric's a little smarter than the rest of them. He carries beef jerky with him. Eric's got me down. His first stop, Shane does the same thing. They'll come out one of them 10-pound bags of beef jerky. Now, if Elizabeth's with us on the trip, she'll say, don't you all give him any. He won't stop for 2 days to eat if you give him a jerky. She's just starving. But here's what I'm saying. Mark Hale starts getting hungry. Here's the way he does it. If we leave early, 5 o'clock in the morning, about 6, he'll be going, there's a Cracker Barrel down the road here at exit. He's got the exits down. And then he starts describing the smokehouse breakfast. What's he doing? He's creating a desire that's going to lead to the action so he can get what he desires and end up at the destination he wants to be in. I'm telling you, this is a very human attitude. And God uses two human words that connect our desires. Here's what God's actually saying. You ought to love me as much as you do eating. And good God, if we did that in this church, we would save Bowling Green in Nashville in 3 weeks. You know people that love to eat, I mean, they can describe it to you. You know, they'll go, we having barbecue. With, and I mean, there's a taste in the bun. You know, like them Colbert hamburgers? Oh. What is it called?
Butterburger.
I love them. I know I'm dying every time I eat one. But after I tasted it, I said, you know, there's a lot of ways to die, and this is a pretty good way to die, you know? I mean, big old butter burgers. How many of y'all had one of them things? Elizabeth will bring me one home every once a month. If she starts bringing them every night, I know she's got a plot. She's trying to get rid of me early. But you can taste it. Okay? I mean, I even said butter burger, and y'all went... Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? Righteousness. I want God's desire in my life. Now, I've established your desire leads to a certain set of actions. Now, first of all, you got to get your desire turned toward God. And then this is going to turn your actions in a godly way. Does that make sense? It'll move them automatically to a godly way, which is the third place. You end up in the right destination. Can I show you real quick? I don't know about y'all, but I hate cold weather. Y'all like cold weather? I don't like it. In fact, there's only one reason I stay at Hillview. I'm called. I've had some calls from churches where it was really warm. And when they called, I was like, man, God, come on. You know how warm I like it. They said, they kill you down there, Harris. All right, I stay where I am. You know, I stay here because I'm called. I stay here because guess what? It's not about what I like. It's about what God says. That's blessed desires of righteousness. Make sense? Now, when we get in God's desire, it will change our actions and we will begin to live according to our destination. Now notice, he says it twice in the things we've gone over. For theirs is the kingdom of what?
Heaven.
Now think about this. Theirs is the kingdom of heaven. So our destination is where? Come on, balcony. Where's our destination? Heaven. Now I always plan a conference, or I really ask God to call me in February somewhere where it's warm to go study for 2 or 3 days. It's really weird. And a lot of times God does that, and if he won't do it, I can find a brochure on my own. But I'm going to get there to where it's warm. Now, it's really funny. It'll be 20 degrees here in Bowling Green. Be nasty. You know how it gets all kind of cloudy and dark. Be cold. You know, be spitting snow because we ain't big enough to have a full snow. We just get spit at. You know, I wish Bowling Green was like this. By gosh, if we're going to have winter, let's have a blizzard.
Amen.
You know, let's either get really cold or really warm. But I hate our lukewarm winters, don't you? We don't have snow here. We have slush. You know, have a big bear of snow. Yeah. How many of y'all remember when that used to happen? Or if we're going to have global warming, let's go water skiing at Christmas, okay? I mean, just get on one side of the fence or the other. Well, anyway, man, I'll be thinking about where I'm going. Like if I'm going to L.A. or I'm going to go down to Florida somewhere and it's going to be warm while it's cold here. Guess what starts happening to my actions when I start thinking about my destination? It'd be like February and I'm wearing flip-flops. Why am I wearing flip-flops? Because I'm starting to live where I am destined to go instead of absorbing the environment that I find myself in. Hold on, I'm preaching to you now. Are you getting this, church? This is what God desires of us. We need to start living where we're headed instead of always looking around to the limitations of our present situation. We always do that. You know, we look at where we are instead of where we can be. Now here's what the Spirit says. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Look at the promise. They will be filled. That's a promise. How many of y'all ever heard this before? Lord, I used to be able, of course, I've been around church all my life. People, how many of y'all have ever heard this? Well, I've heard this from people at Hillview. Well, we're leaving Hillview. Our cup ain't full at Hillview. You pass Steve, Brother Steve, he just don't fill our cup up. He don't bless me. Let me help you with something. I don't ever think about blessing you one moment of my life. Is that clear enough? And I'm not going to tell you deeply how I feel about your cup because I would use language that would offend some. But it starts with, I don't give. You know why? That is anti-Bible. That's the devil himself infusing his nasty, twisted mind into the church. The church is not about us. The church is about a marvelous God who made us and who loves us, and a man named Jesus who died for us and has risen in us and sent the power of a Holy Spirit that will move through us and destine us to heaven. The church is centered in Christ, not our cup. I bet Pastor Eric, I bet you've heard that. Parents come up to you. They all come like this. Pastor Eric, you ain't filling the cup of my children. You know what you need to say? You need to look at him and say, no, don't do this because you get fired, but don't do it. You need to look at him and say, you know what? You need to change your desire. You come into worship and you're empty. That has nothing to do with the worship. I have never been in a church preaching Jesus that I didn't get something out of it. Now, I've been in some churches I didn't get anything out of because they never preached Jesus. They talked about my need to be self-fulfilled and get over my stress. Well, if I wanted to hear bubblegum, I'd watch Mr. Rogers. I need to know about an old rugged cross, not my stress. I need to know about the redeeming blood of Jesus, not my stress. I need to know about the power of the Holy Ghost, not my stress. I need to know that I can be freed from my sin and destined to a new place to live a full and abundant life. That's the gospel. It's not about my cup. And it needing to be filled. You know what people are really saying? Pastor, if you don't titillate my emotions, I ain't coming back. I say to the hell with your emotions for your benefit so you might receive the truth that will set you free. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. They will be filled. Do you know what that attitude says? I don't have to be empty anymore. How many of y'all are so glad you don't have to be empty anymore? How many of y'all have ever been empty before? Come on, how many of y'all have been empty before? Oh God, your pastor's been empty before. I've been empty before, man. I have been empty before. More than once. And it's because I wasn't living in that attitude. I'm just going to be honest with you guys. I wasn't desiring the things of God. I was desiring the things of Steve. And I found that the same things of Steve will lead me to the wrong destination. The things of Steve tend toward to lean toward hell. Things of God always lean toward the kingdom of heaven. Isn't that cool? And God's desire is that you would be where, church? You would be where? In heaven. Did y'all get this today? Get hungry. How many of y'all are hungry for God to do something great in your life? Well, if you're hungry, what did he say he's going to do? He'll do it, brother. Wow. So the two things that get your desire on. How many of y'all need to get your desire back toward God? Listen, how many of y'all have messed up? Well, how many of y'all have been following Jesus Christ and just got wrapped up in some bad desires, even as a follower of Jesus Christ? It happens. Well, then guess what you need to do? Bring it back. You say, God, I'm sorry. I've lost target of your desire for my life. In fact, if you're a follower in Jesus Christ, I believe it's the devil can't take away your salvation. Don't any of y'all give the devil that kind of power. He ain't got that kind of power. You know what? Because the devil can't take away what he cannot create. The devil didn't create salvation. He can't keep it away. That's none of his business. But here's what the devil can do. He'll twist your desires. As a follower of Jesus, he'll try to get you back on temporary desires because he never wants you to live in eternal desires. But hey, you see if I'm shooting you straight or not. How many of you are still empty because you refuse Christ? Every night you go to bed, you know you're empty, you're sorry, you feel it, you feel the sin, you feel the consequence of it, but you don't want to yield into Christ because you still want to do it your way. That's a real battle. I'm not picking on you, I'm just saying that's a real battle. Now listen, if you're in your 50s, it's a good time to come to your senses. If you've been trying to save yourself for 50 years, 40 years, 30 years, and you hadn't done it yet, would you please explain to me with your intellect what makes you think you're going to find something different in the next 30 years? That's why I think age is a blessing. Eventually we get feeble enough to realize we weren't God in the first place. Wake up and we realize, man, if I can't fix my knee, I bet I can't fix my soul. If I can't keep my skin from wrinkling, even though I have a doctor pin it up every 6 years or so. I can stretch it, but I can't cure it. Does that make sense? It's okay to stretch it. I'm all right with that, just as long as you realize you're old. If you just realize you're an old person with stretched skin, I'm cool. You're not going to cheat death. You may look good when you get old, but you'll be old looking good dead. That's why we need who? Jesus. Are y'all getting this today? Guys, listen, I'm preaching to you in the name of Jesus Christ because He loves you and He wants us to desire Him. And there are occasional moments in the life of the church we got to go, whoa, we got to step up, God. We got to step it up in a real way. We got to let these attitudes sink into us. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for what? Righteousness. Being a right standing with God is what righteousness means. I want to stand right in Christ. All right, y'all got this today? So if you desire Jesus, then that's going to change your what? Now you desire change toward Christ, your actions change, what automatically is going to line up? Your destination. I told you, man, if I'm going south in the winter, I'm wearing flip-flops where it's cold. Because I'm heading that way. Let me give you four places that'll help you get you desire. First thing, guys. First thing in the morning, you need to wake up and really connect yourself to God. That may be a quiet time. It may be a Bible verse. It may be a song. It may be just a prayer that you talk to God. But the first thing in the morning, I think it's important that you realize this is His day. That'll get you in a better mood. You know what I'm talking about? Instead of waking up, how many of y'all wake up and think about all the things you got to do that morning? Why not wake up and first out realize who you are? I'm a child of God. Now I'm going to go to school. I'm a child of God. And I'm going to give him a coffee at the minute mark. I'm a child of God. Whatever you do in the morning. All right? I hope a shower's in there somewhere. Okay? You can do it in the shower. Yeah, that's a great place to pray. Kind of waking up going, God, how are you this morning? Glad to know you don't need sleep. Because I'm tired. Help me get through this day. See what I'm saying? Get real with God. Get real with God. First thing in the morning, make contact with God. Somewhere in the middle of the day, pause for spiritual identification. How many of y'all get lost in the day? You get mad at somebody and it'll take 4 hours of misdirection. And it never fails. When you want to get close to God, there will always be some idiot to tick you off. Make sense? Always. I mean, it's like the devil knows. Here, what about that? Now that I've said it, guess what I know already? See, I'm going to get a plan for this. In the morning, I will be late. I can already tell you what's going to happen. And somebody from a county near here is going to go Scottsville Road, and they're going to go 25 miles an hour in front of me while I'm late. And I want to do everything but bless them. What's God called me to do? Now, if I'm tuned in to God, guess what? If I was tuned in to God, I said, God, you know what? I'm going to get up on time so I won't be in a hurry, so I won't be in a panic. And I'm going to worry about honoring you instead of getting to where I want to go. I'm going to let you get me to where I need to be instead of where I want to be. I trust you to be more fulfilling than my own ideas. Now, that's getting surrendered. Third place, you always find God. Pray! You don't have to go to a Bible study to learn how to pray. You don't have to go through all this rigmarole that everybody's made prayer about in the last 10 years. You don't have to have a prayer formula. Here's a good way to pray. God! It's my favorite prayer. Help! It's a real complex formula. I don't know if it'll expand your territory, but it sure does line up your identity. I found I didn't need my territory expanded. I couldn't live with what I had. Fourth place. Bless somebody else other than yourself, and you will begin to live and act in the desires of righteousness. It's amazing. Make sense? All right, just been a pretty tough lesson today. What do you think? There, Professor Bolton. It's a real deal, isn't it? Nathan, can you imagine if we got that attitude in this church here? Wheel around here, man, look at all this. If all this right here got to going on that attitude, what would happen to this place?
Eric mentioned something about 4% of our current, my generation, are true followers, Bible believers, dropping down from 30-something percent.
Mm-hmm. Did y'all hear that?
Kids like the little one.
Yeah, like, yeah, absolutely.
Would be increasing rather than decreasing.
Bingo. Nathan's generation, these are 20-somethings down. 4% of the 20-somethings in America claim a relationship with Jesus Christ. 4%. And y'all want me to get hepped up about Kenya? Kenya has a lot more believers than the 20-something generation in the United States of America. You say, well, how did that happen? Well, we decided to build big churches. Have a closed community. And tell the world if they didn't look like us and smell like us, to the hell with them. And we've done a good job at it. Because then we get excited, Mark. We get excited. We go to some big conference, and there's 40,000 believers there. And we go, ooh, everybody must be saved. But apparently we failed math because there's 300 million people in America. 40,000 in the microdot of impact. There's a lot more people in the world today than there was when the Bible was written. That means everybody got to step it up in a big way. Amen? What if we had those kind of desires? Well, here, I'll dream with you. If we had God's desires, how hard would it be to do anything in this church? It'd be done. Because we'd be desiring what? Yeah. Well, let's pick it up on that attitude. What do you think? Jesus, I want you to be what you want me to be. You know you're going to talk about it. If you desire it, you're going to be a part of it. It's going to do something in your life. All right? Okay, we're going to have altar call right now. If you're not connected to Jesus Christ, there's a serious thing going on right now. Your destination is not a good location. Without a relationship with Jesus Christ, tell us all, church, what happens? What happens, church, without a connection to Jesus Christ? Please say that together. Okay, I want you all to realize that. We're not cussing in here. That's a destination. That's more than a cuss word. That's a place. Even though we don't believe it. You say, what do you mean we don't believe it? There's no way you can convince me that evangelicals believe there's a real hell. If they really believed there was a hell, they could not be this lazy about the message. I think Satan's rocked us to sleep. We think there's plan B somewhere. Because there's always been plan B in our lives. We've grown up where there's always plan B. There's no plan B on this one. This is why it's so hard to preach to our culture. Jesus said, I'm it, and there's no more. You say, there's got to be. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through who? Me. You got to decide. Your desire, His desire. His salvation or your way. God loves you. He desires you to be saved. You saw a father and son. They took God up on that message last week. Some of you are going to take God up on that right now. And so today, if you've never asked Christ in your life, why not connect to Jesus? Change your desire. Let Him change your desire. You say, Pastor Steve, let me ask you a question. Does that mean I'm going to do everything right from the moment I get saved? Absolutely not. Let me help you with that. I can explain your relationship with God. How many of you all have had a child? Good. You can feel God here. This is why I think God gives us children so that we can see how much He loves us. How many of y'all have had children and you desire them not to do something and they go and do it in spite of what you say? They just flat out rebel. How many of y'all have had a child rebel? For all you parents, I want to give you a big relief here. If you're trying to make your child into what you want them to be, all you're doing is creating another client for some real good therapist for the next 30 years. Because what you're doing is creating a neurotic individual. They're not going to become what you want them to be. And I say, praise God. Because they're supposed to become what God wants them to be in the first place. Here's why we got so many crazy children right now. They've disappointed mommy and daddy. And the reason they disappoint mommy and daddy is because mommy and daddy have been running empty on all their lives. And their children couldn't save them. Watch this. When our children disappoint us, what are we still able to do? Love them. How much more a Father who in heaven? How much more the Father that art in heaven love us? Even when we do what? Disappoint Him. So here's the way you come back. Brad, you've disappointed Him, haven't you? I've disappointed Him. But you came where? You came back, buddy. Because you desired it. And that puts you in this seat today, which confirmed your destination today. So here's what I want to tell you. What I'm preaching to you works. It's not a theory, it's a fact. And so today, man, if you don't know Christ, let Him into your life, yes? And no telling how many people here are disconnected from Christ, but you know what? Today, all of you could be connected to Christ if you do this. Lord, I'm a sinner. How many of y'all realize that? I've sinned, I've messed up. That's a big deal. And then you say, Jesus, you know what? I believe You can save me. I'm going to ask You into my life. I believe You've died on a cross and You've risen from the grave. I'm going to ask You to come into my life. I desire You to save me. If you desire God in your life, what do you think God's going to do? Yeah! He's going to say, I want in your life. I want in your life. You think God's going to like write a scripture and not do it? I have people tell me all the time, they go, Pastor Steve, you don't understand, God can't save me. And I said, well, are you an android? Are you an android? I said, what do you mean, am I an android? Are you an alien? Are you different than the human species? God came to save humans. They said, oh, but I know, but you don't understand. I've done something so bad. Well, let me ask you a question. Moses was a murderer. Paul was a political, conniving murderer. King David slept with Bathsheba as the king of Israel. He had an adulterous affair. Yeah. He's even worse than Bill Clinton was. He had the husband killed. And it was his chief general. And God stayed with him. Noah ended up being a righteous man, and after he got off the boat, was naked and drunk on the hillside. Noah! Drinking fermented drink after the flood. There's nothing any of us have been into that is new news to God. He knew all of our filth the moment He stuck out His arms and said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Father, I will die so that You might be glorified and they be connected to heaven. And I will rise again by the power of God so they might have life." That's God's power. Amen? Well, let's stand together. He's ready to call us here. He's ready to call us here. There's some people. Guess what? I just feel led to do this. Y'all grab each other's hand. Holy Spirit's been here all day. The guys in the balcony, I got good news. Guess what? Some of y'all crawled up here and said, maybe some of y'all haven't been here in a while, and you crawled up here and you went, "Oh no, they can see me now." Who cares? God saw you all along and He loves you. His name is Jesus. And He wants to come into you today. But you got to repent. I'm going to tell you the truth in this church. It's not that you got to believe Jesus exists. You got to repent of your sins and ask Him into your life. That's a big difference. And guess what? I'm going to call some of you out. If you believe in Jesus, it's time to get obedient to Him. He says, be baptized, be baptized. This is not hard. You got people coming up to Dr. Ward going, "Well, I just really struggle with this baptism thing." Well, you have a hard time taking a shower? I mean, what intellectual dissertation do we have to have over getting in the bathtub? Here's what baptism is. It is that first step of obedience. God said, "I've saved you, now be a witness to me." You say, "Well, Pastor Steve, I struggle." Gosh, you don't struggle. You just need to really understand your salvation. You're freed from your sin. You don't have to be the center of attention anymore. Hallelujah! That's salvation. So come and be a witness for Christ. Listen, if you're following Jesus, you need to square up on this baptism thing. What are you going to tell Jesus if He asks you about, "How come you didn't get baptized?" What are you going to tell Jesus? "Well, Lord, I didn't come from a tradition that baptized. I've done this, I've done that. I just really..." Repent and be baptized. Bible. Word of God. It's important. Some of you need to come today and just repent. You know you do. You're followers of Jesus Christ. You've been saved. But your desires have not been what God desired. Hello? How many of y'all got that junk in your life? How many of y'all think there's a couple sins you can hold on your way to heaven? God changed my desire. He will. Yeah. He will. Let Him work with you today. Amen? How many of y'all would just let the Holy Spirit have a great moment with us? You say, "Well, how won't the Holy Spirit do it anyway?" Well, you and I got to be receptive to it. You say, "Well, how you know?" I've read the Bible. It says over there in 1 Thessalonians that we can grieve the Spirit. You know how we grieve the Holy Spirit? By not doing what God asks us to do. So let's just pray right now. We have a moment with God. Amen. Y'all cool with that? I don't know about y'all, but I woke up this morning to have a moment with God. What about you guys? Let's pray. Lord, what a beautiful day You've made. What beautiful people You've brought to church today. Now, if you've never asked Jesus into your life, here's your opportunity. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are those who repent of their sins. They will be saved. Why don't you ask Him right now, "Lord Jesus, I know I've sinned. I know I'm not what I need to be. I know I am separated from You. But Jesus, right now I ask You to come into my life. I believe You died on a cross and I believe You've risen from a grave. And so God, I ask You to come into my life. I receive your grace. Wow. Here he comes. Maybe this needs to be your prayer. God, I know you've saved me. I know I'm one of your children. I already know that. But God, I've been out there doing things you don't desire me to do, and you know that. So God, I come repenting today, putting that away in my life. God, I just speak to you right now. I put those things away out of my life as a pastor of this church that don't line up with your desires. And God, I pray for the folk in our church that we'll get serious, Lord, that we won't just come to church on Sunday morning and then do everything we want to do all through the week and come back on Sunday morning and think everything's going to be all right, Lord, because I don't want anybody to fall under the lies of that deception, God. That no, you're changing us, God, day by day, year by year, month by month, episode of life by episode of life. Maybe you need to come today and you've asked Christ in your life and you've never been baptized. You need to square up and get baptized. Maybe you need to come and pray that the Holy Spirit just move in you right now and it be real. Come on. Come on, church, look at me. Y'all feel God here, amen? It's okay to feel God. That's not your emotion, that's your spirit. God's touching this place right now. Why are we scared of that? Y'all, how many of y'all are scared that one day God's just going to bust loose in here and we're just going to have to actually own up to what He said will happen? Wow. See, how come that hadn't happened yet? We hadn't desired it. Let's just be honest. Pastoral staff didn't desire it for a while. They'd had to work too much. We had some folks didn't want to work that much. How's that for honesty? Truth has set you what? I had a year I didn't desire it. I'll be honest with you. I was just surviving here. Whole year. He said, yeah, but you still preach. That's called an anointing. It's after I finished preaching when it hurt real bad. Day after day of not being fulfilled. You know why? I was on some wrong desires. I guess I was wanting my cup to be filled. Then as I read deeper into Jesus, He said, Father, if it be so, let this cup pass me. But if not, I'll be the cup. I found out when you quit wanting your cup to be filled and you line up with God and say, I'll be the cup, you will finally then be filled. Isn't that a hoot? That what you were looking for has already been given to you. What a mystery. Father, right now, holy God, I pray that you heal folks. I pray that we repent. I pray we get stuff out of our lives that's killing us and we line up with your holy desires. I pray right now that we would hunger and thirst for righteousness. And I pray that after this altar, there's none of us that leave here today without understanding you are willing to fulfill us. Lord, I pray for salvation for those that are disconnected and for baptism of those who hadn't been obedient. And that today, right now, it would be a day in the life of our church that says, this is the day we got real serious about what God could do. Maybe 30 years they read about it and nothing has been the same ever since. This is the day we got real serious about what God could do. And nothing has been the same since. Amen. This is your altar. God desires to save you, to heal you, to deliver you, for you to be fully immersed in the power of His Holy Spirit. Now you and I must decide whether we're going to stand there and hope the altar gets by, or whether we're going to come here and say, here I am, Lord. Change me, love me, bless me. Allow me, God, to hear you. In the name of Jesus, come and be filled. Desire God in a big way at this altar. Come on, church.